This is Stop Feeding the Predators on City of Angels Recovery Radio. My name is Lynn, and this is the first show, which has been the hardest thing for me to fathom doing. I actually recorded a couple of later shows because the first show is always the big intimidating thing to do. And I decided that I would just give you kind of a background of what is Stop Feeding the Predators and what we're doing, why it should matter to people, and also what we hope to accomplish with this radio program. As I said, my name is Lynn, and I was raped as a child from age 3 on up throughout the years, different people. And just so you know, there will never be any graphic descriptions in the radio programs, because I believe graphic descriptions does feed the predators. It does make people that are sexually attracted to children, it gives them what they're looking for, and I'm not going to do that. From age 3 on up, I was sexually assaulted, and after 11 years of marriage to someone who did not have any addiction issues, who was a good guy, everybody liked him, had no financial problems, had really nothing that could be pinpointed and say, oh, there's, you know, something shady about him, I discovered that he had been raping my children. So I have the child's perspective of being sexually assaulted, and I also have the parent's perspective of having my child sexually assaulted. And those are two really awful things. But the thing is, there are so many people that have that and worse. And it's my hope with Stop Feeding the Predators, as a nonprofit organization, that we are able to reach out to people that have been sexually assaulted as children, regardless of their age today, to be able to reach out to parents whose kids have been sexually assaulted, whether it was 2 weeks ago or 20 years ago, and to help those people find the healing that is needed in their lives. We don't heal, we can't heal, we don't claim to heal. But what we can do is we offer the understanding of what those people have experienced. We offer hope that you can get through something so unimaginable. I've worked with a couple of different organizations and am familiar with the 12-step groups and things like that. And I've noticed how many injured adults, how many people, you know, are walking around today not feeling right in their skin and discovering that they were sexually assaulted when they were children. And I think that's a really, trying to find the right word, and since I'm doing this for radio, I'm struggling, but please bear with me. It's almost unimaginable that something that a lot of times people say, well, he or she was so young they didn't understand what happened to them. And children do understand what's happening. They don't know that it's sexual. They don't know that it's wrong because no one's taught them that this is not appropriate yet. And they don't know how to protect themselves from something that their gut is telling them they don't want. And I see people today, 20s, 30s, I've actually talked to a couple of gentlemen that were over the age of 70 that were sexually assaulted when they were children. And when I asked them to give me some insight, you know, what happened, who did you tell, how did they react, you know, to have some insight as to what happened, those gentlemen told me they had never told another soul. And I'd like for you to imagine, if you will, living, in the one gentleman's case, living 63 years and never having told someone what had happened to you when you were 8. And I know there are a lot of people, and possibly some of you listening, who have been sexually assaulted when you were children. And you didn't know that it was appropriate to ask for help. You didn't know who you could trust, because most times the person sexually assaulting you is someone that you already trusted. And they betrayed that trust. And if you couldn't trust them, maybe you can't trust someone else. And then, of course, as children, we always have the guilt and the shame, as if we had brought this on ourselves, as if we had wanted it to happen. And those aren't true. A lot of times, our bodies react to what is happening. And I know, especially in the case of young men, they think they must have wanted it or their body wouldn't have reacted. And I try to help people understand that's not the case. If we're laughing and joking and talking and have a good time and we're enjoying each other's company and I suddenly slap you in the face, it is going to hurt. Your body is going to react to what has happened. Even though you were in a good mood and happy, your body will still react to that pain of being slapped. And I explain to people that sexual assault is a similar type thing. Even if you don't want it, your body may react to a touch or a caress. And that doesn't mean that you wanted it. That means that your body's functioning normally. And with the progressive shows, I mean, I will go into more detail. This first show, as I said, has been the hardest thing to do. I've actually already recorded a couple of interviews with people because I didn't know where to start. How do you start this? It's so big. So I'll tell you a little bit about what we're doing. Stop Feeding the Predators is a nonprofit organization. We are currently based in Columbus, Ohio, but we have traveled the bulk of the East Coast and given presentations, promotions. Pretty much, if we can come up with the financial means to get to you, we will present or promote anywhere that we're invited. We don't charge anything for what we're doing. We're not licensed counselors. We're not, you know, flashing college degrees to prove what we know or don't know. We collectively, Stop Feeding the Predators, the board members, people that help out, we're people that have been sexually assaulted as children, or we are parents whose kids have been sexually assaulted. And just like in AA, you know, the best person who can help you understand what you are going through is someone who has already been through it. I use the AA comparison because Alcoholics Anonymous has helped so many people to stop drinking and to find the healing that they need in their life from alcohol abuse. And Alcoholics Anonymous works because the people that are offering suggestions about how to change your life are exactly the people who have changed their lives. They are people who understand where you are, where you'd like to be. They've beaten a path, you know, and they very politely do not tell you how to get where you want to go. They offer suggestions based on how they got to where they wanted to be. And Stop Feeding the Predators is the same way. We are not going to tell you what you should be doing, because every case is different. Every case. I don't care if the child is the same age, the relationship to the abuser is identical, you know, financial circumstances being the same. It's still completely different every single case. And it is not possible for us to know how you should fix it. But what we do offer is the understanding of what you're going through. We've been there. We didn't like it either. it's not something anybody would have ever chosen to go through. I know I certainly wouldn't have, especially for my children. But having gone through something so awful, I feel a sense of obligation to every child to help that family get through it in some way. There's a lot of guilt. There's a lot of shame. There's some blaming. And that's just what we do to ourselves when we've been assaulted. You know, and then family members hear about it, or you know, a neighbor, and you get a lot of comments from people saying things like, "But he's such a good guy, I have trouble believing it," or, you know, "She's always been a little iffy of a little kid," or, you know, some kind of comment that ends up being either blaming the victim or saying that the whole thing is unbelievable because the man or woman accused isn't capable of something so awful. And I'm here to tell you, people are capable of things that awful. I'll say this. Of all of the people that either raped, sexually assaulted, exposed themselves to me, whatever, from age 3 on up, only 2 of them ever spoke with the police. And of those 2, only 1 of them ever went to court. The bizarre thing is, the one that went to court was a stranger who flashed me and made obscene gestures and such. The other one who spoke to the police and never went to court was a man who actually raped me. And he was a family member. And the police don't know what to do, typically. And I'm not bashing the police. It's a hard thing to understand. But the police typically don't know what to do. And family members, and again, we're going back to, 1978. But family members say, "We'll take care of it ourselves." And the police are happy to be done with the case because no one wants to deal with a case like this. And again, I'm not bashing the police. I've done a lot of training with the local police department and with the people that train law enforcement in Columbus, Ohio area. And they have made amazing progress. Sexual assault is taken more seriously now than it was back in 78. And I can honestly say that it is taken more seriously today than it was even 15 years ago. And that is because of the wonderful training, the education process for patrol officers, for detectives, for law enforcement of all kinds. And there's a lot more help than there was. I've run into some parents who say that when they got raped, nobody did anything. So when their child gets raped, they don't call the police. I know some people say, "Well, if anybody ever did anything to my kid, I'd kill him." Well, if you told your kid that, your kid's never going to tell you. Because again, 90-some% of sexual assaults happen at the hand of someone that is known to the child, usually a family member, a friend of the family, you know, a teacher, a neighbor, someone that's close to the child. And if you say, "I would kill the person who did this to my kid," the child doesn't want that person to be killed. And it's important to understand that children feel it's their fault, because many times the person, the aggressor, the person doing the sexual assault, tells the child, "You like this, you want this, you encourage this, I'm doing this because of you," things along those lines, to make the child believe that the child wanted it to happen. And that's certainly not the case. And again, I'll go more into that on later shows. This is kind of a get me started. If I can get through the first show, which is the hardest part, from here on out, it'll be better. It'll be, you know, each show will address several things at once, I'm sure, but I'll go into more detail and more education. Again, most sexual assaults are committed on children from someone they know. So, stranger danger, that's only going to go so far. In fact, if you kept track of Amber Alerts, you'll notice that the Amber Alerts are children are abducted by family member, family friend, boyfriend or girlfriend of the parent of the child. There are not very many stranger abductions. Sad thing is, the news covers those stranger abductions like it's you know, a common thing. The news will say, be careful, protect your kids because of this stranger alert. And harsh reality is, you may be dropping your child off to a friend's house while you go and finish your day at work, and that friend is the one that's sexually assaulting your child, and you thought by taking your child there, you'd keep them safe from this stranger that's out there, you know, trolling for kids. But you actually put them in the hands of somebody that is going to assault them. It's very stressful. It's very difficult to know who to trust, when to trust. Being someone that was sexually assaulted, I've had people say, you have trust issues. Well, I might not, but the bottom line is, the only way I can protect my child is to help my child understand how to trust themselves. Right now, Stop Feeding the Predators has in the works a program that we are working on for school-age kids, elementary and up. But the younger we start, the better. And the program is called GIR, which stands for Gut Instinct Response Reinforcement. And one of these radio shows, I will go into more detail about that. But if you teach a child about good touch, bad touch, that's confusing because sexual touches feel good. If you don't want it, it doesn't make your body react any less to it. The same as if you have an argument with a friend and you're really mad at them and they start rubbing your back. It's still going to feel good to have your back rubbed, but you may be so ticked at this person that you don't want them to touch you or anywhere near you. I hope that helps people understand a little about good touch, bad touch. When I was a kid, there was talk of swimsuit areas or private body parts, and we were taught if anyone ever touches you in an area that your swimsuit would cover, you need to tell someone. And they would always emphasize, unless it's your mom or dad, or a doctor, or something like that. And I was raped by a doctor who did an exam on me before I went to kindergarten. And I didn't tell, because he was a doctor. And I didn't know that what he was doing was not appropriate, because I already heard, if a doctor touches you on your private parts, that's okay. It's a difficult thing, again, to know who to trust, when to trust. But my gut reacted that this wasn't right. And if someone had taught me how to trust this gut feeling that I instinctively have, that all children instinctively have from birth. If someone had taught me how to trust that gut instinct, I would have told the first time I was sexually assaulted. And possibly people would have protected me a little more, because they would have known it already happened to me once. I don't have statistics. I don't like statistics. They're not real accurate. But I will tell you that someone who is sexually assaulted at a very young age is more likely to be sexually assaulted again, even years later. It's not that we attract it. It's that we don't know how to defend against it. So when it happens the first time, we're confused. When it happens the second time, we're even more confused. When it happens the third time, we're like, I still don't like this, but it keeps happening, so I guess this is how it's supposed to be. I guess I should say at this point, I am not telling pedophiles anything they don't already know. You know, there's a fine line between helping people that are sexually assaulted and giving information to the predators so they can be more successful. And I'm hoping that you will notice in my information, everything I'm saying is what the predators are already doing. They know how to groom children to be accepting of their advances. They know how to manipulate parents to get time alone with their kids. They know how to build trust within churches, within different organizations, the neighborhood, families, whatever. They know already how to do these things and get away with it. So what I'm hoping to do is with this radio program is to give information to people so that if you are not sure if you've been sexually assaulted, maybe something happened and you remember feeling weird about it, but you don't know. I'm hoping that you'll hear about some of the manipulation that these pedophiles do, some of the ways they build trust and then make children feel like it's their fault. And the reason I'm hoping that you hear that is because when you realize that sexual assault aggressors are very skilled at what they do, I'm hoping that will help you see that it was not your fault, and that a 3-year-old, even 11-year-old child cannot be expected to defend themselves from something that they haven't been taught to recognize, and that they haven't been taught how to defend themselves. You know, I have a YouTube video, and it's only 2 minutes, 36 seconds long. It is not long at all. So at some point, if you would like to go to YouTube and type in Stop Feeding the Predators, P-R-E-D-A-T-O-R-S, type in Stop Feeding the Predators at YouTube. You'll see a lady in a red blouse with lots of hair. That's me. And you can find out more about what Stop Feeding the Predators is doing, why we're doing it, and why it matters in your life. I am 47, and I have only met, you know, how you get to talking to people. I've only met 3 people. And that's male or female. I've only met 3 people in my entire life that have not been sexually assaulted or had a family member sexually assaulted. I'm 47. I've met a lot of people. And when I hand out the cards for Stop Feeding the Predators, the very first thing I say is, it's not religion and it's not selling anything. Watch the YouTube video, and if you're comfortable with what you see, tell everybody you know, because you don't know who you'll be helping. One of the first people that I helped was a gentleman who was very late in years, and his wife had passed away, and it wasn't until after her death that he discovered that she had been sexually assaulted prior to their marriage. Because he didn't find out until after she was gone, it was even more difficult for him because he didn't have anyone to give him the answers. He couldn't say, well, what exactly happened? Well, how did this? What did that? You know, give me details. He couldn't get clarification to have a deeper understanding of what had happened to his wife. And through the years, he and I got to be good friends, and I helped him to understand that someone who's sexually assaulted doesn't want people to know because we feel that it was probably our fault. We have guilt. We have shame. We don't want people to look at us differently. And this gentleman was able to process his feelings and come to a sense of forgiveness for being mad at her for not telling him. He found a certain amount of peace knowing that she wanted to tell him, and that's why she left it for him to find after she passed. But it was just such a big thing. It was just too big for her to risk telling him, because she wanted a life with him, and she saw this information as potentially ruining any chance of a normal relationship that they could have had. You know, that was 68 years of a secret being kept. And it's really painful to understand what people go through when they're sexually assaulted. I was playing on Facebook earlier today, and someone posted, "The truth hurts for a little while, but a lie hurts forever." And that is the most true statement with regard to sexual assault. You know, a child that is assaulted is going to feel horrible when they say, so-and-so did this to me. And the parent is going to feel horrible when they have to say, so-and-so, you need to leave my house, and we will be in touch through our lawyer, through court, through the police. You know, it's big and it's awful. But when children are able to tell, and when parents are able to give the children the kind of help that they need after that, the children can recover. They can heal from that, and the parents can heal from it as well. You know, I've had a lot of people say that anyone that sexually assaults a child should be killed. And I can understand that kind of anger. I can understand that kind of frustration and hatred. But I'm also here to tell you that many of the people that sexually assault are under 18. They are children themselves. And they sexually assault other children because they are acting out what has been done to them. We have a lot of shows planned, a lot of different information, a lot of insight from the aggressor's side. And again, this is not pro-aggressor, okay? I am not for the sex offenders. I am for the children that are being assaulted. I am for the families that endure huge cost and large stress levels because of some, excuse the expression, because of some jerk's need to have power and control over a child in a sexual way. There will be lots of interviews. Some of them, when you listen to the show, you may say, I can't believe they did that interview. And there may be other shows where you may find yourself feeling very strongly compelled to get in touch with us, and that is always welcome. We, as I said, are based in Columbus, Ohio, and City of Angels Recovery Radio will have banner posted and our information posted. But if you are listening to the show, like I said, this is our very first show. You can take the number down and stick it back if you'd like. Our number is 614-403-4545. I should probably say that again slower. So it's area code 614-403-4545. We welcome calls anytime 24/7. please know that if we do not answer when you call, you are welcome to leave a message. If you leave a message, make sure you leave your phone number for us to call you back. One of the things is we do not automatically call back missed calls. So if we're on another call and when we hang up, we see that we missed a call, if there's no message, we will not call that number back because we don't know the circumstances with which that call was made. So if you're someone that is reaching out for help and you don't want to get caught, I guess, you don't want to get caught reaching out for help, you can call us and we're not going to call back unless you give us a safe number. And it would be good if you can give us a time frame to call back too. And that way, if we miss your call by like a half an hour, we know, is this still a good time to call back or not? Some of the things that Stop Feeding the Predators has done already is we have spoken with parents, we have spoken with adults who were sexually assaulted when they were kids. We have spoken with law enforcement, lawyers, detectives, and it's a great give and take of information, because if we can help the police understand what the children are going through, the police can be more understanding of the child's responses. I know for the police officers, it can be very frustrating when they're called to come out and, you know, the child tells the parent, so-and-so sexually assaulted me. Obviously, that's not what a kid would say, but you know what I mean. Kids' words. And the officer comes out, and the little kid sees the cop, intimidating, uniform, towering over the child with their height. And that doesn't matter if it's a petite female. It's still intimidating to a child to talk to a cop. And the child may say, I made it up. And many times at that point, the police can't do anything. And it's frustrating for them. And there are different training programs throughout the United States that help officers and help the detectives to know that that's a common thing for a child to take back what they said. And it helps the officers find ways to talk to the child to get to the truth. And I know that there are people that lie about being sexually assaulted, but I promise you, absolutely, that is the rare occasion. That is not the common. So again, if anyone ever says that they were sexually assaulted, even if they take it back later, even if they laugh and say, I was lying, I was just messing, I was mad at so and so and I wanted to get them in trouble, it didn't really happen, they're probably still telling the truth. I know that when I was raped at 13, I told someone because actually it was one of my friends. Again, I'm a teenager, other teenagers cannot help me. But I told one of my friends that I was raped, but I lied about who did it. I lied and said it was my cousin who did it. I hadn't seen my cousin in 8 years. But it was too awful for me to say who it really was. And it was also too awful for me to not say something, because I'd had it. I'd been sexually assaulted off and on for the past 10 years by different people that came and went in my life. And I didn't want to keep it a secret anymore. I was tired of it happening. I was not okay with this being a secret again. And so the very first time I told, I lied about who it was. So you can see, if a police officer had to deal with me that day, I would have said I was raped by my cousin. They would have discovered that my cousin was nowhere, not even in the same county as I was, and they could have very easily dismissed everything that I said. But reality was, I was raped in my own home by a family member. and I couldn't take the secret keeping any longer. Again, I'm going into too much detail for a first show, but I'm trying to give you an idea of what kinds of things will be discussed, how we're hoping to help. The name Stop Feeding the Predators, I've had a couple people ask me about that. And the idea is that there are things that we all, myself included, even though I know better, myself included, there are things that we all do that feeds into the idea that this is okay. Now, obviously, I'm not wearing a t-shirt that says, I support predators. But there are things that we do that we don't realize feeds into the idea that this is an okay behavior. I was talking to a couple waitresses at a restaurant the other day, and they have like a bar area, mostly so that people can come in and eat, you know, by themselves and not feel weird sitting at a table alone. But they do serve alcohol there. And I was talking to some of the waitresses, and we noticed that there were about 8 guys at the bar. And I said, I'd like you to imagine if a 5-year-old little girl walked past the bar, you know, to go into the restroom, and those 8 guys looked at her. Most likely they'd be thinking, oh, she's so cute, or look at her little ring curlet, you know, curly hair, or I miss when my daughter was that age, or maybe they're thinking, you know, I wish I had a daughter because I only have 5 sons, or, you know, whatever they might be thinking. But if one of those men looked at that little girl and said out loud, juicy, he would be absolutely pummeled by the other 7 guys. Because it's not appropriate to look at young children and have sexual thoughts. It's not appropriate to look at young children's chests, even though little girls who don't even have breasts, to look at their chests and think, oh, sweet. That is not appropriate. It's creepy. And yet, parents will put sweatpants or cute little shorts or a little pink top with a picture of cupcakes on the chest and it says sweet. What we're doing when we do that is we make men and women have deviant thoughts when they look at children. The scenario of, you know, the 8 guys at the bar, if one guy says juicy, the other guys are going to beat the crap out of him. But if the little girl walks past with the word juicy on her sweatpants or whatever across the butt, the guy that was thinking it doesn't have to say it. And now you've implanted in the minds of those other 7 men that there's something that should draw them to that little girl's behind and make them associate the word juicy with an adorable little girl's butt. That's what I mean by feeding the predators. You know, I know there's fashion trends, and I'm not even going to get into, at least not today, not even going to get into the idea of skimpy clothing or whatever. And I need to emphasize here, rape is always the fault of the aggressor. Rape is always, always the fault of the aggressor. I don't care if a young child is completely naked. It is not okay to touch them in a sexual manner. So if anybody thinks that I'm saying it's your fault because you put juicy on your daughter's butt and she got raped, it is not your fault. It is the aggressor's fault. Always, always, always. There are people in dire situations who may try to sell their children for sexual favors, for their feeding into their drug addiction, whatever. It is always the fault of the person who accepts the offer. If you're a diabetic and I insist that you have this luscious cake loaded with sugar and you eat it and you have a diabetic reaction and you die, it is your fault for eating it. I'm not the most brilliant person to offer it and insist on it, but if you know that you can't handle sugar, you shouldn't be eating sweets like that. Rape is always the fault of the aggressor. I don't care what your child is wearing. It is always the fault of the aggressor. I can't emphasize that enough. Now, I do believe that dressing our children in provocative clothing does make people look at them in ways that they would not naturally normally look at them. Anybody under the age of 10 that's wearing eyeliner, mascara, if a child is not developed and yet they wear sexy low-cut tops, you know, why? Why would you put a child in anything that could be classified as being sexy? Again, if they get raped, it's the fault of the rapist. But why risk it? You know, if we want to protect our kids, we need to give them respect for themselves. We need to show them their worth. We need to help them know what's appropriate and what's not based on that child's own instincts. I know this is a lot of information. And when Stop Feeding the Predators got started, it was actually started as a book. And 16 chapters were written. And someone said, you need to make this a nonprofit organization. You can only help so many people with the book. You can help so many more as a nonprofit organization. And when Stop Feeding the Predators did what is classified now as the East Coast Tour, we were fortunate enough to meet up with the folks at City of Angels Recovery Radio. And they are amazing and wonderful people. Even ignoring how they offered to let us do the radio program, they are just amazing, amazing folks who reach out to help people find their healing and to have better lives. And I cannot express my gratitude enough to... I'm not even going to name names because there are so many people that I met there and I don't want to leave someone out. So the folks at City of Angels Recovery Radio, you know who you are. You know you're doing wonderful things for people, and I thank you for that. We've also had financial supporters for Stop Feeding the Predators. We've had, like I said, we're based in Columbus, Ohio. We've had people in Pennsylvania, Maine. We've got folks in California that have sent money in to help cover costs for printing brochures and business cards and, you know, different literature and things like that. And we've even had money come from China. And yeah, it was valid. It was no money laundering. It was a genuine offer, and it was much appreciated. We don't ask for donations. We don't solicit for donations. Obviously, when people find out what we're doing, oftentimes they want to help. And the best thing you can do, I mean, if you want to send money, I'm not going to stop you. But the best thing you can do is, if you're comfortable with the information, if you're comfortable with the way we're sharing the information, is tell everybody you know about Stop Feeding the Predators. The YouTube video is probably the best option. Again, it's 2.5 minutes, 2 minutes, 36 seconds. And if you watch that and you are comfortable with that, please share that with your friends. If you're a Twitter person or a Facebook person, or I don't even know all the different categories of social media, But if you watch the YouTube video for Stop Feeding the Predators and you're comfortable with it, please tell everyone you know. I've had some people that say, I want to help you out, but I don't have time to volunteer and I don't have much money. And I tell them, if you were going to give me $10, instead of giving me $10, if you could tell 20 people about us, even if those 20 people never give us a dime and you never give us a dime, you are going to change more lives and do more good by telling people about Stop Feeding the Predators than if you gave us even $100. We're a nonprofit organization. Yes, it takes money to pay for the office. Yes, it takes money to pay for the recorder, for the office equipment, for brochures, for all these different things. And money has shown up when we have needed it. So I'm not trying to discourage anyone from making a donation. You can mail a check to the P.O. Box 355 Hilliard, H-I-L-L-I-A-R-D, Ohio 43026. But I would rather, truly rather, you watch the video and pass it on. Tell other people about it. Sexual assault does not know any boundaries. It happens to males. It happens to females. It happens to rich people. It happens to people that are dirt poor. It happens to the educated. It happens to the clueless. It's not going to go away unless we get rid of the silence. If we can take away the secretiveness, we can help stop the predators. When one sex offender is incarcerated, they cannot sexually assault children. And I'd like to emphasize that there has never been one sex offender that has only assaulted one child. They might have only gotten caught for one child. They might have only been prosecuted for one child. But I promise you, there has never been a pedophile who only sexually touched one child. Most often it is about eight, not the age of eight different children. And the thing is, when one child is touched and doesn't know how to tell or whom to tell or isn't believed, removing, or even if they are believed, and just removing that offender from the child's life only slightly protects that child, it still endangers other children. And the reason I say it only slightly protects that child is because oftentimes it's a family member, it is a friend of the family, it is someone closely known to the family that sexually assaults. So when that person is removed from the child's life, that person is also removed from that family's life. And other family members may say, whatever happened to so-and-so? You guys always used to be really close. And if the truth is not out of what happened to so-and-so, why they're not allowed around your family, why they're not allowed around your child, that helps support the idea that the child did something wrong. Because now it's the child's fault that so-and-so isn't in the life anymore. And that's awful big. And even telling your child, you know, so-and-so can't be around you anymore, that sounds like a punishment to the child. And again, please understand, these are people that know the child, know the family. These are people that have spent time building a relationship with that child. If you've ever had a falling out with your very, very best friend, and whatever it was big and awful, and you guys were mad at each other and didn't talk, the loss of the friendship is still a loss. There's still grieving that needs to be done. And even if you and your friend never make up and you never see them again, sure, that ends the problem, you know, of whatever the disagreement was, but you still suffer the loss. You still feel bad, even though, you know, maybe it was their fault and you don't want to be with them, so that's okay. You still have the loss of that friendship. And again, I've covered all kinds of topics. I've talked about every different category or at least touched on them briefly. But sexual assault is more than somebody touched somebody and they didn't like it. And sexual assault is bigger than so-and-so can't be around you anymore because of what they did and I want to keep you safe. That's not the end of it. That doesn't fix it. That may remove the physical threat, but it doesn't heal the emotions. Stop Feeding the Predators, we have our tagline, which you'll see in the banner on City of Angels Recovery Radio. Our tagline, or catchphrase, or whatever you want to call it, is healing starts here. Again, we cannot heal you. We do not claim to heal you. We're people who've been sexually assaulted. We're people who've watched as our children have gone through the most stressful, emotional, hard times that they could have gone through because of what somebody has done to them. The reason that Stop Feeding the Predators catchphrase, whatever you want to call it, is healing starts here is because we make it okay for people to say out loud to themselves, maybe for the first time ever, to another human being, I was sexually assaulted when I was a child, and I'm not okay with that. That might seem simple. That might seem even dumb. But as I said, I'm 47. And I know very, very few people, whether good friends or faint acquaintances, I know very few people that have not been affected by sexual assault personally or to a family member. A lot of addiction issues are from people trying to stuff down or ignore or hide from sexual assaults that they endured as children. I spoke with one person who has a heroin addiction, and this person is just a wonderful, genuine, loving, caring person. The heroin disguises that, of course, but who they are is just being masked by the heroin. They're still that person. And I discovered that that person was sexually assaulted as a child. And they've never healed from that. They've never addressed that in the way that it needs to be addressed so that they can find their healing. And it is so difficult to watch. It is so difficult to not want to grab them up in my arms and just hold on to them and tell them, it's okay, it's not your fault, you can get through this. You don't need heroin to hide from what happened to you. But just like AA, just like any 12-step recovery program, just like any counseling therapist, whatever, it is not helpful to have someone hold you where you are and tell you to get over it or to tell you it will be better. The very best thing that's happened in my life is when I wanted to talk about the sexual assaults. And again, I wasn't talking graphic details. I was talking about the emotional impact that it had on me. When I needed to talk about what I had been through, having someone who didn't judge me, who didn't say, well, what did you do You know, unless they're saying, you know, what happened next? What did you do? What happened next? But it helped so much to know that when I said to someone, this person hurt me, I don't have to go into details. I gave the example one time that if one person is shot in the heart, and one person is stabbed in the heart, and one person's bludgeoned with a brick in the heart, it is clear that all three of those traumas need some kind of medical intervention. And I tell people, we don't share graphic details because it doesn't matter if you were shot, stabbed, or bludgeoned. What matters is you need to find the healing for your life so that you can be you again, so you can go on to be okay again. I had someone say, you know, I was sexually assaulted, but that was nothing compared to what happened to those three ladies in Cleveland. And again, I'm making the assumption that most people know about the three ladies that were held for 10 years captive and raped repeatedly, and as well as some other horrible things. And I say other horrible things because rape is a horrible thing. But I've had some people say what I went through was nothing compared to what they went through. And I'd like to leave you with this thought. If you're in a car wreck and I'm in a car wreck, which one is worse? The answer is the car wreck that you are in is worse than the car wreck that I am in. And the injuries don't matter, and the damage to the car doesn't matter. What matters is the emotional impact of you being in an accident. I've talked for a long time. I may have rambled at some points, and I apologize. But as I said, this is the first show, and I don't know how to do it. I am brand new to the radio world, at least as a speaker. As far as being a listener to the radio world, I've been doing that for 47 years. I'm good at that part. But it's my hope that with this radio program that more people will find their healing. You know, healing starts here. I hope that the public can begin to be open to a conversation about sexual assault the same as the public is open to hearing about cancer. It's not something that any of us want to hear about. It's not something any of us want to talk about. But ironically, talking about sexual assault helps it go away. If talking about cancer cured cancer, we would have already cured cancer. Because so many people have had it, so many people have talked about it, so many people have done the 5K runs and the financial support and the raising awareness. If talking about a problem made it go away, everybody would talk about it. Ironically, sexual assault is the one problem in the whole entire world. This is the one problem we can fix by simply talking about it. Think about that. If you find out that your neighbor's child is sexually assaulted, instead of avoiding them because you don't know what to say, walk over to their house, knock on their door, tell them, I heard what happened. I'm sorry. I don't know what to say. But I'm not afraid to talk about it if you want to. I hope that you will enjoy our radio program. I hope that you will find healing, help, education. And I hope that you will feel free to get in touch with us if you need. Again, 614-403-4545. You have been listening to Lynn on City of Angels Recovery Radio, and remember, healing starts here.